Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website, which we will link below. And Joel, let's start off with just a general comment on these U.S. equity markets, because today the markets are up. And look, the momentum to the upside from these markets, it was there in October and November. Early on, it was there, but we have seen just a little bit of weakness, maybe a little bit of a consolidation again up near these all-time highs. But it really feels like day after day, if there isn't a catalyst to drive the markets down, the still path of least resistance for U.S. equity markets is higher. Now, there's probably a number of reasons for that, but some of the main reasons being, well, investors seem to still have at least a bit of a risk-on attitude, and they continue to buy the dip. And that's been kind of the overall trend for U.S. equity markets dating back years now, maybe even close to a decade. Joel, what's your takeaway from just the general moves we're seeing today? And again, that whole buy-the-dip mentality still being in these markets that are close to all-time highs.
Oh, that's right. Thank you, Shad and Corey, for having me this afternoon. I think you described it pretty accurately. I mean, we had a strong close of the market last Friday, right? And it looked like you were going to get some follow through in Monday's session. And then you get a Fed governor, a former New York Fed governor, talking about, you know, the Fed being behind the curve as far as raising rates. And that instigated a little midday sell-off. Now the market came back strong, on the close, and you see them follow through today. So on Monday, it was just like the absence of a bullish, you know, headline, something bullish macro to offset those comments. Today, I mean, you're seeing some good earnings. They're being reacted a little bit differently, but Home Depot being handsomely rewarded for its Q3 beat. That thing's trading up 5.5%, over $20, moving in on the $400 level, you know, off a good report. Now, Walmart, you know, which had a good report, you know, is in the dumps today. That's down $4 or 2.75%. Now, I think the different factors there were, you know, Walmart just had like a crazy run from its October low around 135 up to 152 in early November. And then, you know, you just get a little bit of selling ahead of the report. But I think that it's, you know, overall, we've had a pretty good earnings season. It continues in the retail sector. And once again, there's, you know, bullish catalysts and really no bearish catalysts today.
Yeah, fact of the matter is both of these stocks have been doing quite well. And, well, Home Depot getting the bounce today, Walmart selling off a little bit, but still, the uptrend is in place for Walmart even after that sell-off today. Joel, do you classify one of these more so as a pandemic stock or a reopening stock? Because both got a bump during the pandemic, but I think you can always argue that Home Depot could also be construed as a reopening stock as well. How do you classify them?
Walmart definitely had the boost in revenues during the pandemic. People weren't going out to dinner. They were, you know, they were loading up, stocking up for, you know, extended stays at home and not going out. Whereas, you know, Home Depot, I think what you kind of see this dynamic in the market where, you know, the housing market just got expensive, right? And it got overheated. You saw, you know, what happened to some of these iBuying firms. And so, people are like, hey, I can't afford a new house, right? So I better fix up my house. I know I've done a couple projects around here. So it's just benefiting from, you know, you had, plus interest rates are moving up and, you know, it's not as cheap to get a loan. So Home Depot, while people were staying at home during the pandemic, wanting to make their house good, you know, look as nice as possible, to have the time to fix up things. It's also a reopen, you know, it's benefiting from, you know, the higher prices in the housing market, where Walmart is pretty steady and it's not, you know, people are going to be doing their holiday shopping and whatnot. But Home Depot, clearly the big winner, you know, off, I wouldn't say similar reports. You had a breakout too, a technical breakout in Home Depot. The stock had been capped at 375. It ended up opening $4 above that at 379. So you have a situation where whoever was crazy enough to be short the stock, boom, busting out to new all-time highs, therefore forced to cover. And I'm sure that's adding some momentum to the rally.
Well, Joel, just speaking of people expecting interest rates to rise and some of the inflation narrative, we've seen the U.S. dollar breaking out to new highs today, and it seems to be on a run that's going to keep running higher. So what do you think is driving the strength in the U.S. dollar, and how do you think that may affect certain sectors?
Anticipation of higher rates. I think that's being invested in U.S. equities denominated in U.S. dollars has been a pretty good investment. And if interest rates are going to be going up, I mean, people don't look, they're not looking at perhaps the real rate of return. But yeah, I mean, it's been, you had the spike during the pandemic. You had an extended decline, found monthly support, and now really just trying to get back to that level where it was pre-pandemic. And it's got a ways to go with it. The currencies, the dollars, once they get going in one direction, it's pretty hard to stop the momentum. So a couple different factors, strong U.S. equity market, want to be in dollars, and chance of higher interest rates helping the dollar.
Yeah, the stronger dollar is putting some commodities under pressure today, but just tying in with this inflation theme as well, I saw a news report out today, Joel, that says Advanced Auto slips because of inflation. It's deciding to cut back its plans for store openings. Do you think that we're going to see inflation affect growth of certain companies like that, whether it's input cost, whether it's fuel cost, or whether it's just not being able to rise prices quick enough? Are we going to see more stalls from corporate America on this inflation narrative?
I think maybe from the from the construction standpoint, I think that you could pass on the inflation cost to the consumer incrementally, right? But if you had a project, just give an example, building a new facility, $1.75 million, you have that budgeted in for 3 years. And they come back to you and say, no, it's going to be, $500,000, $750,000 higher. They're going to wait. They're going to back off. Labor costs are higher. Input, construction costs are higher. So they can, they can pass on incremental costs to the customer to make up in, the prices and the margins and the inflation. But if you're going to hit them with a double whammy of having to raise prices to build new facilities, the consumer can only, they can only absorb so much. So, I definitely see that putting a little construction costs, the labor costs, whatever financing they were doing to get things done. You're definitely going to see projects getting put on hold.
Now, Joel, when we look at currencies, we also do need to look at what's going on around the world, right? Because that's a key determinant as to how currencies are valued, because they're valued against one another. And the U.S. dollar heavily weighted value-wise against the euro. Europe's been having some trouble. We've had some other commentators on the show that says, look, Europe is in for trouble longer than just a couple months out. And that is the narrative that some are using to say that this dollar is going to move much higher from here. What are your thoughts on that?
Has Europe ever not been in trouble?
That's a very good point.
Yeah. They're still, in some respects, still dealing with the pandemic in different ways than we are. So, yeah, I mean, the European economies, the Brexit, I mean, they have not been able to rebound like we have. So that just makes the dollar even, more attractive when, the other economies are not performing at the same clip as the U.S. economy.
Well, Joel, just speaking of currencies, I can't help but note that on the cryptocurrencies, we've seen a little slide back this week. I don't know if you've been following it, but they're down about 7%, Ethereum and Bitcoin, things like that. Do you think that that's a reaction to more of a safe haven and less speculation in the market? Or do you think that it's just a technical correction and it's going to be load the boat and take it to the next leg higher?
I can't help but thinking like, oh, these Bitcoin ETFs coming about, the consumer, getting in. Oh, it's time to buy Bitcoin, 65, 66,000. You think about, the retail herd perhaps getting in a little bit late. You have a specific catalyst out of China overnight, you know, talking about, you know, reducing the carbon emissions and the amount of energy that, you know, Bitcoin needs to be mined. So that's directly weighing on it. We know when, you know, China makes, you know, statements on their own issues or on Bitcoin, it has at least a short-term effect. You instigated a big dip down to 58.5 on the futures, but, you know, what if you look at the past, you know, they also took these kind of actions when it was around 30,000, 35,000, and you saw what the end result is. So a lot of people are just using the China as a contrarian indicator, and we're buying the dip. That was it's now over $3,000 off its intraday low of 58,515.
All right, Joel, so if we take a step back and look, in all fairness, cryptocurrencies, they have gone through a little bit of a correction, but they're still hanging above that, I believe, $60,000 U.S. level. And when you look at a longer-term chart, boy, oh boy, it's still a strong-looking chart. But when you take a step back, looking at maybe the potential catalyst for the rest of this year, now that we have the Fed taper announcement behind us and some of that inflation data, it's going to be, I believe, another couple of weeks before we get some more data that will be, I think, closely inspected. What are some of the main catalysts that you're looking for heading into the end of the year?
We're finishing up with retail earnings season, correct? So and that's leading into the holiday season, and I think that there's very, very high expectations. I mean, people are like, that pent-up demand, you know, Christmas was such a flop last year in the holiday season. I think that, you know, people are anxious to get out. Plus, they made all that money in the stock market. So I think the consumer, and I think the holiday season, also the seasonality of, the Santa Claus rally, there's just a lot of momentum, you know, heading into the, you know, the retail earnings and getting some good results, some good price action. So I'll be looking for those Black Friday results and pictures of the stores just jammed up. So I think it's the consumer and the pent-up demand and the buying that's going to be the next catalyst in the market. Absent of any, you know, macroeconomic factors, I don't see the Fed switching course all of a sudden by the end of the year and bumping up rates to ruin the party. But that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at that, you know, the holiday season. Everyone out there buying gifts hand over fist, 12 days of Christmas, 8 days of Hanukkah. You got to get it all in there.
Do you think some of the holiday season purchasing is going to be moved forward because of all the comments we're hearing from corporation saying there are supply chain issues, so get your shopping in early?
It really could. You also have the cyber shopping, right? So I think it's gonna be maybe a little bit getting pulled forward. I think, you know, people, you know, supply chain, you know, constraints, I think people will be getting out and doing it a little bit early, but I still think that, you know, you can do what you can online, but I think people really just want to get out of their house and do the shopping and get it done. So a little bit be put forward, but I think people will be shopping right to that, you know, to that Christmas Eve.
Yeah, fair enough. That's also human nature, right? As much as companies might say purchase earlier, people do leave Christmas shopping usually a bit later. I know I do myself, so not planning on adjusting anything this year. Joel, thanks as always for your time, buddy. Always great chatting with you. We'll chat with you next week. And again, we'll post that link to the pre-market prep website below, and that's where you can follow along with Joel's daily thoughts on the market. Joel, thanks as always for your time, buddy.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.